if there's one simple thing. If a person does not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, then he or she is not on their way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And there's no way we can get into heaven but by Jesus. We can't get there by any other world religion, no other cult, no other leader of those religions or cults. We can't get in through our own works or accomplishments. We can't get in through our heritage. Well, you know, mom and dad and grandpa and grandma, they all Christians. And some of them are in heaven now. So I'm going to heaven too. No. We stand on our own merit. Each person will have to stand before God. And each person will have to either hear the word, turn away from me, I never knew you, or come in, my child, and enjoy what is prepared for you. So, which is it in your life? When we think of what we're going to be talking about today, a new heaven and a new earth, now that means right here where we are living, this is going to pass away. Now the planet itself, the ball that we live on, is not going to go away, but everything else about it is going to be refurbished, renovated. And it's going to be burned to the foundation. And so it will be a new earth, and of course there will be a new heaven. The Old Testament prophesied a massive renovation of heaven and earth that would eventually result in the saints' dwelling place. In Psalm 102, verses 25 and 26, of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will endure. That's you is the Lord. Yes, they will all grow old like a garment. Like a cloak, you will change them, and they will be changed. Another passage I want you to look at is Isaiah 65. And perhaps you've already found your place because it was up on the screen. I hope you have. Isaiah 65, starting with verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing, and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Eternal heaven will be vastly different from the heaven where God dwells now. God will make or remake the heavens and the earth. He'll merge His heaven with this earth in a perfect dwelling place that will be our home forever. In other words, heaven, the realm where God dwells, will expand to encompass the entire universe of creation, which will be made new in a manner fit for the glory of heaven. 2 Peter 3:13. When we think about Abraham, the patriarch Abraham, when he was a wanderer, and he was told to go live in the promised land, well, the promised land was not his final destination. The promised land was not heaven. And the promised land, although it was flowing with milk and honey, it was not that perfect paradise that God had in store for later on. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 9 and 10, it says, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise, is in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has not foundations, or which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That's what Abraham was waiting on. That glorious city. That's what we're waiting on. And that's why I would just love to see every person in this room ready to go to heaven. When that time comes, whether it's by death or by the rapture, that you're ready to go. You're ready to go. You have no other preparations to make. But many people are going to be left behind. A couple of things I want to point out to you. And it takes us again to Scripture, other Scriptures. 2 Peter chapter 3, if you turn there. 2 Peter chapter 3, starting with verse 3. We see here that the old universe will dissolve away. This old universe, this universe in which we live, is going to dissolve away. People who are connected to the world, who have bought into the world, they're living life like, all I have is this. The glitz and the glamour of the world draws them in. In many cases, they find themselves being drawn in by sin. They're enticed by sin. And they take part in sin. Folks, there are more young people today who are taking part in things of the world than ever before. And many of their parents are saying, well, that's okay. You need to try that out. Well, that didn't happen in my home. In my home, we taught them the Word of God. And we didn't have this philosophy. Well, they need to try things out. They're old enough to make up their own minds. That poisonous lie did not come out of my mouth. Because that's a poisonous lie that's hatched in hell. And it comes from the devil himself. Parents, you're given the responsibility to bring up your children in the love and admonition of the Lord. Yeah, they need to make choices. They need to make choices for good. They need to make choices for the right way to go. Look at nature. Just look at nature. When a mama bird wants to get the baby bird ready for life, have you ever heard of a baby bird? Have you, in looking at professionals who look after birds, you ever hear them say, well, there was this one bird, and it seemed like the mother just didn't take any care of that bird. She didn't feed it. She didn't allow it to gain strength. And when it came time for it to fly out of the nest, it kind of fluttered its wings and jumped and pew, went to the ground. Couldn't fly. You say, that's crazy. Well, that's just as crazy as you saying about your kids, I'm going to let them make their own choices. Folks, that's crazy. I'm going to let them make their own choices. You need to be praying for them. You need to be teaching them. You need to be living the book before them. You need to be praying, oh God, let them take the right path. It's true, they're going to come to the place where they'll make their own decisions. But until that day, you be like the mama bird. You got worms and you drop them in their mouth. You feed them. And you protect that little baby bird. You have a good, strong nest. And when the time comes for that baby bird to fly, that baby bird's going to know how to fly. And they'll just take, that bird will just take off and fly. It's not about choice, it's about reflex. It's about what's instinctive. For the Christian family, it is instinctive for the child to come to Christ. It's instinctive for the child to believe because they have seen their parents believe and practice the faith, and they want that same thing. It's instinctive. It's something that could be built into them as they grow up. In Proverbs it says, train up a child the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart. Now that is not a principle, meaning it's not a law. Because sometimes you train up a child in which they should go, and they go the wrong way. But it's a proverb. It's a wise saying. Parents, you do all you can do to train that child to go the right way. You show them. You display it. You pray for them. You teach them the Word of God. You do all those things. And then when they're old, they make a choice. What does old mean? Well, it could mean 10 years old, 12 years old, 16 years old. Folks, we need to see a reversal among our young people. Our young people need to see value in the Word of God. They need to see value in who Christ is. And folks, they're not going to see that value unless you live it before them. Can I tell you what really burdens me today in addition to those who are going to hell? Another burden that I have for this church. Now listen, this is not going to cost you another penny. You don't have to pay for it. This is free. But a burden that I have for you, Herman Baptist Church, is this. That on any given week, the majority of you are here on Sunday morning. Sunday morning. The majority of you are not here on Sunday night. The majority of you are not here on Wednesday night. And you want your kids to follow in your footsteps. It's more like this, folks. Your kids are going to watch your life. And they're going to come up a little under where you are. What's coming up a little under where you are? It's no church at all. No church at all. Folks, we're living in the last days. We're living in end times. And it's my job to tell you the truth. I don't want to stand before Christ one day and He asked me, why did you not warn those people? Why did you not warn those folks? Like I say, it doesn't cost anything extra. But it's my burden that I have for this church. And I pray for this church every day regarding this. I pray for those who, well, maybe they don't even come once a week. Maybe once a month, twice a month. Your kids are watching you. Church is not important, is it? They see you go to work every day and they say, well, work's important. They go to work every day. They see you go to McDonald's once a week. Well, going to McDonald's must be important. They go once a week. You want to put church on the same plane as McDonald's or even work? church. That's the saints of God gathering together. It's the called out ones, the ecclesia, the ones coming together. Your life reveals where you are. Your actions reveal where your heart is. Where is your treasure? Is Jesus Christ your treasure? Is His church your treasure? But in 2 Peter we see the old universe is going to dissolve away. It's going to be gone. All this stuff you're living for is going to be burned up. It's going to be gone. In verses 3-6, he says, learn lessons from the past. Folks, I've tried to learn lessons from my past. I remember back before I was a Christian, and I remember lessons that God taught me even then. And how I gave in to sin. And how I wasn't on the right path. I learned from the lessons from the past. But even lessons that I learned as a believer, I've learned from the past. I've learned the things I did when I stumbled. And the things I did when I was not going the right way with Christ. And the Holy Spirit would get me back on track. Sometimes He would discipline me. He would chasten me, and I'd get back on track. Are you under the chastening rod of God today? You can come out from that. Come out from that. Repent. Make a change. Turn around. The last prayer I prayed before I came into this pulpit, oh God, may this message hit the hearts of somebody so they'll change. When the Word of God is given, change needs to happen. Preaching week in and week out and never seeing the change that needs to happen in a body of believers, God's not pleased. It's not me that's not pleased. It's God that's not pleased. Because when I finish this message, I go home and eat lunch. And my conscience is clear. Learn the lessons from the past. Secondly, remember, the Lord's mercy, He's withholding judgment right now. Verses 7-9 talks about that. Look at that again. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Before that, he had said there were scoffers that would come in the last days. In verse 4, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they are from the beginning. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, the earth standing out of water and in the water. Learn from the past. He's talking about the worldwide flood. The worldwide flood. God destroyed everything and destroyed everyone except for Noah and his family. But He's withholding that judgment. But then the day of the Lord is going to come. Verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat? Some have written that this fervent heat will be done by a nuclear bomb going off. Folks, in what I read here and in Revelation and other places, I believe it's something bigger than any nuclear bomb. I just believe God is going to say everything explode. And it will. You say, well, I don't think it's that simple. Well, all he had to do was speak and it was created. All he's got to do is speak and it will be destroyed. Now I want you to turn to Revelation 21, 1 through 7. He says there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Folks, this is what I want you to see. A new heaven and a new earth. Young people, I want you to see there's something better than this world, than drugs or alcohol or pornography. Adults, I want you to see that there's more in this world than unfaithfulness or greed or envy. Revelation 21, 1 through 7. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. When we get together in heaven, when we have the new heaven and new earth, there's not even going to be any oceans. Those of you who love the beach, we'll get you fill of them here. Not going to be any beaches there. It says no more sea. You know why he does that, I think? Because seas separate us. There's not going to be any separation in heaven. Not even geographical. And think about it. Most of the earth is covered by water. We're going to have a lot more room. Good stuff. But there'll be no more sea. Now there will be the river of life. So those of you who like the beach, you can go down there. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Revelation 21 gives what amounts to a full exposition of Isaiah's promise. Here, the Apostle John describes the full vision of the final consummation of all things. This chapter contains the Bible's most exhaustive description of the new heaven and new earth, along with the holy city, New Jerusalem. What we see in microcosm at the end of Isaiah is spelled out more fully at the end of Revelation. We see in chapter 19 of Revelation that the battle of Armageddon has been fought. The earthly millennial reign of Christ has come to an end. Chapter 20, verse 7. And at the great white throne judgment, God has sentenced Satan and all the ungodly to eternal hell. Chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. Then the whole universe will be dissolved. It says the first heaven and the first earth had passed away and the sea was no more. Everything we know will be made perfect. Evil will be purged from the universe. Death and sin and sadness and pain will be entirely done away with. and the new heavens and new earth that take the place of the old will be the glorious realm in which we will dwell eternally. That's going to be heaven. It says there in verse 7 that we read, he who overcomes shall inherit all things. There are some who would make you to believe that as a Christian, there's things you still have to do to be an overcomer. But let me tell you this. For one thing, you read it right here in Scripture. But I want to tell you by my own testimony, we are already overcomers. By simply being a child of God, by simply being a Christian, we have been bought by the blood. We've been washed by the blood. We are a part of God's family. We are the church. And we have already overcome. You say, well, I got this problem. I've got this habit. I've got this sin. Well, you need to give that to God because you've already overcome. You just need to give that to God so it'll quit stumbling you up. You've already overcome. You say, well, I've already overcome, so I'll just go ahead and sin. Folks, that's not the way it works. God will be hard on you. Take my word for it. God will be hard on you if you take on a sin as a believer. He will chasten you. He will make your life miserable until you change, until you stop what you're doing and live a holy life. Because once you became a Christian, that was it. You signed on the dotted line, so to speak. I think there's been people who've gotten saved, and after they got saved, they said, whoa, I didn't know what I'd bought into here. But let me tell you what you bought into. You have bought into eternal life. And the price was paid by Jesus. And because you got eternal life, then blessings come your way. But he also has expectations for us. He wants us to be holy. He wants us to be a good example, a good model. He wants us to be faithful. He wants us to be disciplers of the young, of those who need to grow. There's a lot of things he wants us to do. But remember, we are already conquerors. There's nothing that we can't do if God calls us to do it. It's just that simple. To whom much is given, much is required. Folks, that's in the Word of God. There's responsibility that comes with being a Christian. You can't just do what you want to do. You can't just live your life the way you want to live it. Your life isn't your own anymore. You've been bought with a price. You belong to Jesus now, and he'll never let you forget it. You get off on the wrong path, he'll let you know. And the longer you stay off that right path, the more he'll let you know. And I could have people come up here. There's people shaking their heads, yes, out there right now. I could have people, I'm not going to have y'all come up, but I could have people come on up and give testimony of this. People who got off the track, they got into some sin, and God clamped down on them. The chastening of God found them. Eventually, and this is their testimony, eventually they repented. They confessed that sin. They were forgiven. And they were restored. And the chastening of God, it was lifted. It was lifted. He only chastens those whom he knows. He only chastens his children. That's a good thing, folks. The chastening is not good, but it's a good thing that he chastens only those whom he knows. Our eternal inheritance is not a reward for merit, but a birthright. It's a birthright. Because we're saved, because we are in the family of God, we are overcomers. It's a birthright. And we have an inheritance that fades not away. You say, well, I don't want that inheritance. Tough. You got it anyhow. Galatians 3:29. You know, when we're witnessing to people, we don't ever tell them this other stuff. We don't usually tell them. When we're trying to lead somebody to Christ, we don't usually tell them. Now, you know, if you get off track, God's going to chasten you. They're told that later when they're discipled. Or they're told that later when the whole world is flying apart. And they say, what in the world happened? Ever since I got saved, my whole world's flying apart. Oh, yeah, we better tell you about that. You know, when you get saved, things are going to change. That's just the way it is. But it's to the good. I'd lot rather have my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'd lot rather have the knowledge that I'm on my way to heaven. I'd lot rather have the Holy Spirit who's always checking me and telling me what I should or should not do. I'd much rather have all that than to have what I used to have, which was nothing. Galatians 3:29, if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. Folks, if you are an heir according to promise, all I want you to do is act that way. Live that way. Live a holy life. Live a dedicated life. Live a life that your children can see Jesus in you. My desire for my children is that they will become greater Christians than I am. That they will mature and be stronger in Christ than I am. Same thing for my grandchildren. I'm just so proud when I see one of them take a stand for Christ. And they let their testimony show. That's what you want to see. That's what blesses your life. I want you just to ponder right now what God may be saying to you. If God's wanting you to make a change in your life, He'll certainly hear what you got to say. If you got a sin you need to confess, He'll listen to you. He'll forgive you of that sin. All He wants you to do is confess it to Him. Are you lost without Christ? In other words, do you have a relationship with Him? If you don't have that relationship with Christ, you can have it today. Someone beside of you or behind you or across the room, you go get them and let them pray with you. And if you need them to answer some questions, but today you can receive Christ. Moms, dads, you're doing everything you can do to get that young person to be mature in Christ. You need to be dedicated to that. That should be job one. That's more important than anything else you've got going on. That precious young person that's in your life, you want to see them in heaven next to you. Again, I'm honest with you. I didn't go around telling my kids the downside of things. I didn't tell my kids anything about Satan. We didn't tell them that Satan would come against you until after they were a Christian. We didn't talk about Satan. We didn't talk about the world. We didn't talk about Satan's work. Before our kids got saved, we talked about Jesus. And we did it every day. You say, well, you pounded it into them. You might be right. You might be right. We did. But they came to know Christ at early ages. And listen, years later now, they're adults and they're serving Jesus. They're serving Jesus in their own lives, in their own families. Pound it into them. You get it into them any way you can. Mainly through love. Just love them to Jesus. And they'll respond. Let's pray. Father, it's been a rough message on heaven. Most messages on heaven are soft and easy. But Lord God, the Holy Spirit is speaking to hearts. And we just ask that individuals will allow God to work in their own lives so that change can be effective. Lasting change. So that your people can be true and faithful and endure to the end. You tell us in the last days there'll be a falling away. Oh Lord, I pray that doesn't happen here. The great apostasy is coming. But Lord, help us so that we will become stronger, that we'll have a stronger desire to be in your word and to be in fellowship with you and others who love you. And today, Father, if there's individuals in the audience that are going through struggles and trials, Father, just help them to see what the source of that may be. And Lord, if the source of that may be that they are under the chastening hand of God, then Lord, that can be lifted quickly. Lord, just do your work in hearts today. We give you the credit, we give you the glory for all that will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand?